Chapter number 2 this evening, Ruth chapter number 2, as we continue our study through this short book, only 4 chapters in the book of Ruth, and we mentioned that the first few verses, really 1 through 5 of chapter number 1, covers 10 years of history, while Naomi and her husband and her boys moved to Moab because of the famine. And we find that chapter 2, now our third week in chapter number 2, this chapter covers really just one day of time from verse number 1 down through verse number 22. And so we are thankful for the opportunity that we have to study God's Word. And of course, the very first lesson from chapter number 2, we dealt with a couple of principles that are very familiar biblically speaking, but maybe sometimes in our culture today, not as familiar to some of us. And that was the principle of the kinsman redeemer, and then also, or the kinsman, and then the principle of gleaning. And we looked at those two principles. And then last week we spoke about when Boaz meets Ruth, and we dealt with this portion of scripture from verse number 4 down through verse number 13. And really, as you look at the request that was made by Ruth to Naomi in verse number 2, she said, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find." And then notice she says, "Grace." And I'm so thankful for God's grace, aren't you? I'm thankful that our God is a gracious God. And we find that she goes out, and it was according to verse number 4 that she came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. And that's where we're introduced to Boaz, and he's the kindred of Elimelech. And we find that in verse number 10, she says, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes?" And obviously through their interaction that we studied last week, we found that indeed she, Ruth, had found grace in the eyes of Boaz. And we found that Boaz, though he's a busy man with great responsibility, he took the time to notice one of these new gleaners in his field. Remember, the gleaners were those that were poor, widows and orphans, and he noticed that there was someone new that was working, and he took the time to inquire to find out who this person was. And I said this last week, people matter, and sometimes we get so busy in life that we can just run right past and miss opportunities. And I hope that in your life and in my life that we're practicing this principle and understanding that people matter, and we need to take time to be able to interact with people. Listen, there's a lot of people that we come in contact with in our lives that are hurting people, that just, man, they're empty. They need some direction. They have no kind of hope whatsoever, and what a great opportunity that we have. We also mentioned, as we looked at last week, at the instruction that God provides Ruth through Boaz and the importance of that instruction, made some application. This evening, as we get into verses 14 through 18, I've titled the message from verse number 16, "Handfuls of Purpose." That's what the Bible says in verse 16. We'll look at verses 14 through 18 through the study this evening. But in verse number 16, this is Boaz speaking to his young men. And notice what Boaz says to these young men. He says this, "And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." I love that phrase, handfuls of purpose. And what a great phrase. We find it really only here in all of the scripture. And we see, of course, with regard to the reaping and the gleaning and all that's taking place. But as we continue noticing through this portion of scripture, we've come to the time in verse number 14. Really, it's meal time, if you will. Now, remember, Ruth, according to verse number 7, one of the servants said to Boaz that she came and hath continued even from the morning until now. So she's been working hard. She wasn't afraid of hard work, and she's out there in the field. It'd be a tiring job. Remember, gleaning was exponentially harder than reaping because you had to travel much more distance in order to get enough sustenance because you're just gleaning. And we find that she's been working. Now we come to verse 14, and we find that it's mealtime. Notice the Bible says in verse 14, And Boaz said unto her. So Boaz continues to chat with and have this conversation with Ruth. And notice it says, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And he, that would be Boaz, reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. As we look at this portion of Scripture, I want you to notice, first of all, the invitation to Ruth. In verse number 14, Boaz is speaking to Ruth, and we find that the invitation is a simple invitation. Notice what he says, at mealtime, come thou hither. It's a simple invitation. I would say that it's also a personal invitation. Boaz is speaking personally to Ruth. He says, come thou hither. This special, it was also a special invitation. I think about this invitation that is given in verse number 14, and it's a specific, personal, special invitation. And I begin to think about invitations, and obviously Boaz here in verse 14, he's extending an invitation. But the reality is that when an invitation is extended to someone, there is a response that is required. That invitation can be accepted or it can be rejected. And we find that in this text of Scripture, the Bible continues after Boaz extends this invitation to Ruth. The Bible obviously portrays to us that Ruth accepted that invitation. For the Bible says that he said, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And then the very next phrase, and she sat beside the reapers. The Bible says that he reached her parched corn, and that means that he gave her this parched corn. He took some of that which had been gathered by the reapers, that which she had gleaned and provided for her. He took that roasted grain, and he provided that to her. And the Bible says that she did eat it. Notice it says, and was sufficed and left. She was satisfied. I want you to think about this invitation. She accepted the invitation. I want you to notice she did not ignore the invitation. She did not refuse the invitation. She did not even convince herself that she was unworthy of such an invitation. Now remember, earlier in the passage of Scripture, she says in verse number 10, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me? Notice, seeing I am a stranger. Notice at the end of verse number 13, she says this, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. But Ruth does not go through the process of simply having this self talk and convincing herself that she's not worthy of such an invitation. No, she accepts the invitation. And she enters into this place at mealtime, and she's there in the presence of Boaz. She is being provided for. We mentioned last week the provision that was given there, not only provision but also protection. We looked at that last week. But we see here in this text of Scripture this invitation and the response to the invitation. This evening, as we've made spiritual parallels and applications from the book of Ruth, I'm thankful to report to you that as you study the Word of God, you will find that our Lord has extended some invitations to us. In fact, the Bible, some of those invitations would be like this, call unto me. How many times we read the invitation, come unto me. And we begin to think about the invitations that have been extended to us and the fact that, yes, we've been commanded to pray, but we've also been invited to pray. We've been commanded throughout the scriptures that we're to read the Bible, but we've got this open invitation that we can feast on the manna from heaven, that we can enter to the very presence of God Almighty, and we can sup with Him, we can have fellowship with Him. And this evening, sometimes, as we look at that and we understand what's taking place, I wonder, how is it that we respond to the invitation that's been extended to us? Wouldn't it have been a sad thing if Ruth said, "No, I'm not interested. Thanks, but no thanks"? Have you ever received an invitation from someone that was so important, it was such a personal, special invitation, that you had to adjust your schedule in order to be able to go to that particular event? I'm sure at some point in your life, it's happened in my life, where you have to change your schedule around. Why? Because an invitation has been extended for some special event. You say, "I want to be there." This is a personal invitation that's been extended to me. The God of the universe is interested in you as an individual. I mentioned that last week. Right, Boaz, he notices the individual. How often you read the Gospels, and in the midst of the multitudes, God says there's a certain man, there's a certain woman, there's a certain leper, there's a certain... And we find that God's interested in the individuals. And this evening, we too have the opportunity to have fellowship with our Lord. We notice that not only is this invitation extended to Ruth, but as we continue through the portion of Scripture, notice the instruction for the young men. In verses 15 and 16, God provides us with the instruction that Boaz will give to the young men. The Bible says that she was sufficed, she was satisfied, she was filled up, and she left. There was more work to be done. She had to go back and glean some more. In fact, the Bible says that when she was risen up to glean, to begin verse number 15, and so she stayed there, she ate, she was satisfied, and then she got up to go continue the work that she was doing, that she was engaged in. But the Bible says that Boaz commanded his young men. Now, notice what he commands these young men. He says, number one, let her glean even among the sheaves. This is an interesting piece of instruction that Boaz would give to his young men. Now, when he says to these young men that they are to allow Ruth to glean even among the sheaves, you understand that this would represent the best part of the field. This would represent the part of the field where the reapers are still actively working. And this is quite different than what most of those widows and orphans and as we looked at the poor and all of those that would glean, this is quite different than the portion of the fields that they would typically be gleaning on. And there now, as Boaz would give this instruction, he says, let her glean even among the sheaves. This is unusual instruction that is being given by Boaz to his young men. And we find that he then follows it up with this in verse number 15 and says, and reproach her not. Don't insult her. Don't shame her. Reproach her not. This is the instruction that I'm providing you with regard to the place that she will have the opportunity to glean. Notice in verse 16, not only does he say to the young men that she's able to glean even among the sheaves, again, representing the best part of the fields where the reapers would be actively working, he then says, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. I like the fact that it's plural, handfuls. Did you notice that? It's not just one handful of purpose. It's not, no, he says, Boaz, he says that they are to allow. No, notice it says, and let fall. This was purposed. This instruction that God is, that Boaz is giving to young men, to his servants, this is a purpose thing. Remember when we read back in the law with regard to the principle of gleaning and how they're not to make clear riddance of the corners, and if something were to fall, they weren't to go back and get it. We studied that and we understood that principle of gleaning, but now this is a whole nother level where now the reapers, these young men, these servants of Boaz, they're being instructed to let fall purposefully, not that which accidentally falls when you're reaping that you can't go back and get. That's following the law. That's what the law says. But now Boaz is saying, no, let fall, purposefully let fall. Notice what he says, some of the handfuls of purpose for her. So now I think about a handful, and obviously it's plural, so that would be multiple handfuls of purpose, but it's not just one little, it's a handful. It's as much as they could get. And you, on purpose, drop it, leave it for her. It says specifically for her, for her. And then notice what it says, and leave them. Why? That she may glean them. So now all of a sudden, the work that Ruth has to do is being aided by these that are going to follow the instruction that is provided by Boaz to let fall these handfuls of purpose and leave them so that she, Ruth, can glean them. Can you imagine how much easier her task just got? Can you imagine how much more she could gather in just a short period of time and not being as difficult or as challenging as it was before? And we find that this instruction is being given. He said at the end of verse number 15, reproach her not. He says at the end of verse number 16, rebuke her not. I want you to think about this just for a moment as he says to these young men, he gives them this instruction. And I want you to think about, as we've studied within the context of this portion of Scripture, that this was a purposed blessing that was being left for Ruth. But where is it that she would find these handfuls of purpose? I would submit to you this evening that she had to be in the right field in order to find the handfuls of purpose. She wasn't going to find the handfuls of purpose if she's off wandering around doing some other thing, doing her own thing. The handfuls of purpose were going to be left. They were going to be left for her that she may glean them by those young men, by the reapers that were in the field of Boaz. Remember, go back to verses 8 and 9, if you will, of this chapter. The Bible says, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Again, the expression is kind of listen up. Listen to what I have to say. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. We made the point last week as we looked at verse 8 and 9 that as Boaz provided this instruction to Ruth in verses 8 and 9, that the protection and the provision came as she was in the place that she was supposed to be. Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, go live however you want to live and then think you're going to get all the blessings. Right? He said, follow me. Sometimes today, the 21st century Christianity idea is, hey, we can live however we want to live. We can do whatever we want to do. That's just your opinion of what the Bible says, and that's just your... No. Jesus said, follow me. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There are many, many multitudes of blessings that God has in store for us, but they come as we're abiding in Him, as we're pleasing Him, as we're obeying Him. And we find, yes, the Bible teaches us that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, and I'm thankful that our God is long-suffering and He's gracious and He's merciful. But as we abide in Him, you know what He does? He leaves us blessings on purpose. On purpose. You know, we serve a good God. We serve a great God. And He's so gracious and He's so merciful and He loves us so much. And I think about what the psalmist says with regard to the context here of this. And as I begin to think about our own lives and the way that Ruth would receive these blessings as Boaz was purposefully, I don't believe that Ruth knew that this is what was going on. Ruth had already left. It says that she left in verse 14. It says that she rose up to go glean. And when she was risen up to glean, then Boaz has those young men and he gives them this instruction. And so Ruth is out there gleaning. She doesn't know that these young men have been instructed by Boaz to let fall handfuls of purpose and leave them so that she might glean them. We have a God in heaven who loves us so much that, as the psalmist put it this way, that he daily loadeth us with benefits. Our God is so good to us. The songwriter said, count your blessings, name them one by one. Listen, the reality this evening is that there should never, in the life of a child of God, there should never be a time in your life where you do not have reason to rejoice and to praise God. You say, does that mean I'm never going to have a hardship, a difficulty, a time of difficulty? No, you're going to have all of those things. But guess what? We have reason to rejoice because we know who our God is and we know His plan for us and we know that He is a good God and He has purpose and His plan is perfect. And this evening, as we begin to think about this situation with Ruth and the instruction that's provided, those handfuls of purpose, I believe that these young men would obey Boaz. But Ruth better be in the right field if she's going to glean those handfuls of purpose. Listen, God has blessings for us. He really does. God's blessings, I said this when we studied the life of Joseph. When we look at the life of Joseph in Genesis chapter 39 and see how the Lord was with him and the Lord blessed everything that he did and all of those things that we read about Joseph, that's not just a by chance type of thing. God was blessing his life and God was making prosper those things in his life. Why? Because Joseph was a man that walked with God. And God's favor was seen, so much so that Potiphar was able to see that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made these things to prosper. That's what Potiphar was able to see. And this evening, we look at the truth of God's word and we begin to see how that even Moses would say to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, I set before you a blessing and a curse. What's the route to get the blessing? Obedience. What's the route to get the curse? I don't want to go that way. But it's disobedience. Very plain. And so this evening we find that here in this portion of Scripture, what great instruction that is given by Boaz. And we begin to think about the, again, spiritual applications with regard to what is represented here in this book of Ruth. I'm thankful that our God gives us, we could use the same terminology, some handfuls of purpose. I'm so thankful for God's Word. Begin to read God's Word, and you see how God reveals Himself to us. We understand we're to search the Scriptures. We're to be diligent students of God's Word. And as we search the Scriptures, as Jesus said to those religious leaders, as they were having misunderstandings with regard to their ideas with regard to heaven, we find that He says, search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of Me. We find that Paul says to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But I'm thankful that God will give us those blessings, and He does it on purpose, with purpose. Notice with me in closing, as we look at the remainder of our portion for this evening in verse 17 and 18, we see the result of Ruth's gleaning. Notice the Bible says in verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until even. Been a long day. She'd worked hard. The Bible says that she beat out that she had gleaned. Again, that would be a laborious task. And the Bible tells us the quantity. It says that it was about an ephah of barley. Now, if you go back and study through the law in the Old Testament, looking at the quantity of manna that the children of Israel were to take each day, and then look at the type of measurements that are used and make the comparisons as to what an omer is, a tenth part of an ephah, and you look at all of that. So now, when you look at what an omer is, and you look at here where it says about an ephah of barley, this was about 10 days of sustenance that she was able to glean in one day of work. Now, I'm totally convinced that the reason that she was able to glean as much as she was able to glean is because of what we just dealt with in verse 15 and 16, where there were handfuls of purpose that were left for her that she could glean them. And as she beats out that which she had gleaned, and as she puts it all together, the Bible says that it was about an ephah of barley, so then she took it up. So now she has to carry this quantity of grain that she's gleaned throughout the day and now has beaten it out and is now going to carry this back to where Naomi is staying. Remember, her mother-in-law was there. She left. She said to her mother-in-law in verse number 2, "Let me now go to the field so that she could glean." And the Bible says that she took it up in verse 18 and she went into the city. I'm not sure exactly the distance that she traveled, but again, she's carrying that ephah of barley, and as she's traveling, the Bible says that her mother-in-law, notice what it says, saw what she had gleaned. As she arrived back to the place where they were staying, where Naomi was, Naomi sees the fruit of her labor. She sees it's evidenced, it's obvious, this fruit of her labor. And I believe that Naomi was probably thrilled by what she had seen. When Ruth comes back in and Naomi sees what has been gathered, I believe that that would be reason for Naomi to rejoice, for they have sustenance, they have provision. And the Bible says that she brought forth, this is Ruth bringing forth, and gave to her, Naomi, that she had reserved after she was suffice. We'll look at the last part of the chapter next Wednesday as we look at the interaction, the discussion with regard to what Naomi knows to be the case with regard to Boaz and how he's a near kinsman. And we'll deal with that next week. But as we look at this and begin to understand what takes place, I would submit to you this evening that Ruth, in verse number 2, when she asks her mother-in-law, she makes that request, "Now let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace," I would say to you that she went out empty. She went out empty. She had nothing. She went out empty. But you know how she came back? Full. She came back full. Not only was she sufficed, according to verse number 14, remember at mealtime after she had been working, Boaz gave her that invitation, and as she responded in accepting that invitation, she was sufficed, and so she did eat, she was sufficed and left. She finishes up the day working, and then comes back with 10 days of substance. She went on empty, but she came back full. You know, I'm so thankful, if I could make an application this evening, I'm so thankful. As we would look at Boaz in the book of Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. And we've already made known that the Lord Jesus Christ, the picture of our redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I have nothing to offer him. I have absolutely nothing to offer him. But you know what's amazing? He's a gracious God. And we can find grace in his sight. Unmerited favor. Some have defined grace this way: God's riches at Christ's expense. And begin to think about the way in which we have nothing to offer him. Really? Isaiah says all of our good works are as filthy rags. We have nothing to offer him. But you know, after, and we've not gotten to the fullness of the book of Ruth yet with regard to the kinsman redeemer and the work in chapter 3 and all of that, but we begin to understand the application this evening and understanding our redeemer and what he's done for us. You know, what a joy to know that though I had nothing to offer him, I have everything in Christ. The Bible says that we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And we begin to think about the way in which our God has provided for our every need. He knows everything that we need. He knows every thing about us, and he provides for us. And so this evening, when I'm looking at this portion of Scripture, I'm reminded of several things with regard to our own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and our fellowship with him. And I want us to be mindful of this idea of these handfuls of purpose. As we begin to think about the place in which she would find, Ruth would find these handfuls of purpose. And I would say to you this evening, God has some handfuls of purpose for you and for me. But we better be where we're supposed to be. Ruth had to be in the field where the handfuls of purpose were being left. Otherwise, somebody else going to get them, right? Someone else going to get them. Because there are other people out there gleaning. But we find that Ruth was able to receive those handfuls of purpose because she was where she was supposed to be. And what a great blessing. God has so many blessings for us. Oh, that God would help us to keep our eyes on Him, to abide in Him, to follow Him, to obey Him, and we'd be able to see His blessings in our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. I thank You for the portion of Scripture as we can look at the invitation that was extended from Boaz to Ruth, and I'm thankful that she accepted. She did not refuse, reject. She did not ignore, talk herself out of. She accepted the invitation, and she entered there, and she was satisfied. She did eat. She was received the blessing. And then, Lord, we think about these handfuls of purpose. We understand contextually these were handfuls of grain that were left behind purposefully so that the task of gleaning would be easier, so that Ruth may have sufficient sustenance for her and for Naomi. But God, we're thankful this evening that You have blessings in store for us. God, we agree with the psalmist when he said that You've daily loadeth us with benefits. God, I pray that there'd never be a time in our lives where we neglect praising You and rejoicing in Your goodness. I pray, God, that You'd help us to keep our eyes on You and to follow You and to abide in You. Lord, help us not to wander away and believe the lie of the enemy and the prevalent teaching that's so available today that you can just live however you want to live and do whatever you want to do. God, we know that Your blessing comes as a result of our obedience and our walking with Thee. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us. Bless our time of prayer. We thank You for the privilege of prayer. We thank You that You've given us an invitation. Call unto Me. Lord, I pray that You would bless every aspect of the remainder of this service. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you have your prayer bulletin with you, is anyone